Today is Thursday, October 30th, and this is the World Socialist Website. The class issues in the New York City mayoral election, a statement of the Socialist Equality Party of the United States. Election Day in New York City is less than a week away, with early voting already underway. Polls indicate that Democratic Socialist of America, or DSA, member Zohran Mamdani will be elected, which would make someone claiming to be a socialist the mayor of the largest city in the U.S. and the home of Wall Street, the center of global finance capital. Mamdani rose from a virtual unknown last year to defeat ex-Governor Andrew Cuomo, the favored candidate of the city's political establishment, in the June Democratic primary. Since then, Mamdani has maintained a comfortable lead in the polls over Cuomo, who shifted to an independent, and Republican demagogue Curtis Sliwa. The widespread support for Mamdani's campaign reflects a deep hatred for the pro-corporate politics of the Democratic Party, which Andrew Cuomo ruthlessly implemented throughout his tenure in Albany. Workers and youth are disgusted with the Democratic Party's accommodation to Trump and are looking for a way to fight back against staggering levels of inequality, soaring rents, poverty wages, endless war, the genocide in Gaza, and ICE immigration raids. The elections in New York are taking place amidst the escalating conspiracy of the Trump administration, backed by dominant factions of the oligarchy, to establish a fascistic dictatorship in the United States. This has included the deployment or planned deployment of military forces throughout the country and the massive assault on the working class taking place through the government shutdown. If Mamdani wins, New York City will immediately become the next battleground in Trump's war against the working class. Last week, the president sent a warning of what is to come, deploying ICE thugs armed to the teeth with military equipment to rampage in Lower Manhattan, abducting immigrants and citizens alike. Trump has repeatedly denounced Mamdani in fascistic language, calling him, quote, a 100% communist lunatic, unquote. Republicans in Congress have called for Mamdani, a naturalized U.S. citizen, to be deported. There is broad and growing opposition to Trump's dictatorship, expressed in the outpouring of millions in the October 18th No Kings demonstrations. These are the popular moods that Mamdani has appealed to and what has propelled his rise. The Socialist Equality Party, however, does not call for a vote for Mamdani or for any of his rivals. Mamdani's platform and program do not represent a way forward in the fight against oligarchy and dictatorship, but a political trap. There are, first of all, fundamental questions of principle involved. In calling for a vote for a candidate, one takes responsibility for their political program. Despite his pretense of being a socialist, Mamdani is a Democratic Party politician, and the Democratic Party is a capitalist party, a party of Wall Street and American imperialism. All political experience demonstrates that workers and young people cannot take a single step forward within the framework of the Democratic Party. In relation to the specific issues in this election, Mamdani, together with the DSA as a whole, is seeking deliberately and consciously to channel opposition back into the Democratic Party by promoting the lie that it can be pushed to the left and become a vehicle for advancing the interests of workers. Mamdani's own campaign, however, exposes this as a political fraud. Over the past 5 months, Mamdani has bent over backward to reassure the very billionaires he claims to oppose. Amid the ongoing genocide in Gaza, he has backtracked his defense of the Palestinians, declaring that Israel has a right to exist and Hamas should lay down its arms. Bowing to right-wing pressure, last week Mamdani announced that he plans to retain the billionaire heiress Jessica Tisch as the commissioner of the New York City Police Department. This has been a key demand of big business, symbolizing that, amid explosive social conditions, when it comes to controlling the state's armed apparatus, a trusted figure will be at the helm. Mamdani appeals to opposition to the oligarchy, but his program is nothing more than a modest call for a few liberal reforms, a pause on increases for half the city's renters, a modest lowering of transportation expenses for some transit riders, and an expansion of publicly funded childcare, financed by a slight tax increase on the wealthy. Even if enacted, these policies will do nothing to resolve the problems of historic proportions facing the working class. Even so, Mamdani has come under attack from sections of the Democratic Party establishment. Their favored candidate, Cuomo, has denounced Mamdani's proposals as a fantasy, while launching vicious smears branding Mamdani as an Islamic jihadist. New York's U.S. Senate delegation has refused to endorse the victor of the primary's party, while White House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries withheld an endorsement until last week. The Democratic Party's machinations are meant to hold Mamdani in check while promoting gubernatorial candidates like Navy pilot Mikey Sherrill in New Jersey and CIA officer Abigail Spanberger in Virginia as the model for the midterms in 2026. The way in which the DSA Democrats seek to rescue the Democratic Party despite itself was underscored during the mass campaign rally last Sunday in Queens, when Mamdani walked on stage to rescue Governor Kathy Hochul, raising arms together to quell the heckles and tax the rich chants from the 13,000 in attendance. Mamdani is following the same path of political deception laid down by Bernie Sanders and, more recently, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, both of whom appeared on stage with Mamdani at the election rally on Sunday. For nearly a decade, Bernie Sanders has served as a lightning rod for opposition, consciously channeling the growing hostility to capitalism back into the dead end of the Democratic Party. In both 2016 and 2020, he ran for president, received millions of votes based on false promises of a political revolution, only to endorse the chosen candidates of Wall Street and the Pentagon, Hillary Clinton, and Joe Biden. On foreign policy, Sanders has repeatedly lined up with American imperialism, backing the U.S.-NATO war against Russia in Ukraine and unlimited funding for Israel. Mamdani's fellow DSA member, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, also has presented herself as an opponent of the Democratic Party establishment, only to prove herself a faithful defender of the interest of the ruling class. She voted to illegalize a strike by railroad workers in 2022 and backed funding for Israel amid its genocide in Gaza, while urging her supporters to, quote-unquote, be adults and rally behind the war criminal Biden. The DSA is playing an ever more direct role in the framework of establishment bourgeois politics in the U.S. This is, moreover, the expression in the United States of an international tendency. For years, figures like Jeremy Corbyn in Britain have provided left cover for bourgeois political parties that implement austerity at home and imperialist war abroad. Corbyn himself was expelled from the Labour Party amid a witch hunt over supposed left-wing anti-Semitism, paving the way for the reactionary Keir Starmer to lead the Labour Party as Prime Minister. In Greece, the Syriza experience demonstrates the role of the pseudo-left when it comes to power. Within months of winning national elections in 2015, the coalition of the radical left repudiated its promises to take on the European banks, defy the results of a popular referendum, and impose the austerity agenda demanded by the backers. It thereby handed the initiative to the far right. Such experiences have been repeated countless times, in country after country. Should Mamdani win, he has already demonstrated in the course of his campaign that there will be very little difference between a mayoralty headed by himself and one headed by Cuomo. The sentiments driving support for Mamdani among workers and young people, opposition to dictatorship, inequality, and war, cannot and will not be realized through the Mamdani campaign, nor within the framework of the Democratic Party. As the Socialist Equality Party wrote following Mamdani's primary victory in June, quoting, "The Socialist Equality Party has insisted that the predominant tendency within the working class, both within the United States and internationally, is toward political radicalization and opposition to capitalism. The New York mayoral election is a confirmation of this assessment. However, we do not mistake the indication for the fulfillment. While the SCP recognizes the significance of Mamdani's victory, it does not adapt its political program to the illusion that his electoral success will lead to a change in the nature of the state, the class character of the Democratic Party, and the violent and oppressive character of American capitalism." End quote. The developments of the past 4 months have entirely confirmed this assessment. Trump has violently escalated his conspiracy for dictatorship. Meanwhile, the Democrats have done nothing to stop him, collaborating instead in the destruction of jobs, social programs, and democratic rights. Mamdani and the DSA, for their part, have demonstrated the bankruptcy of their entire perspective, working to channel mass opposition back behind the very capitalist establishment responsible for the crisis. The SCP insists that the fight against war, dictatorship, and social inequality cannot proceed through illusions and progressive Democrats or appeals to the existing political institutions of American capitalism. It requires the independent political mobilization of the working class in the United States and internationally on the basis of a socialist program. The working class, the great social majority, must organize itself as a conscious political force to take power, expropriate the billionaires, and reconstruct society on the basis of equality, peace, and social need, not private profit. The working class must intervene as an independent political force, armed with a socialist program. The SCP calls on all workers, students, and young people who oppose dictatorship, war, and inequality to take up this fight. Israel massacres 100 Palestinians in a single day in Gaza, by Andre Damon. The Israeli military massacred over 104 people on Tuesday and Wednesday in a series of attacks throughout the Gaza Strip, demonstrating the complete fraud of the ceasefire adopted on October 10th. The attacks killed 46 children and 20 women and injured over 200 people, according to Gaza's health ministry. On Tuesday, the office of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that a decision had been made, quote, to immediately carry out forceful strikes in the Gaza Strip, unquote, and that U.S. President Trump was informed, quote, before the action was taken, unquote. The Israeli military boasted that it carried out a, quote, series of strikes in which dozens of terror targets and terrorists were struck, unquote. On Tuesday, Trump declared that if Hamas does not, quote-unquote, behave, then, quote, they're going to be terminated. Their lives will be terminated, unquote. U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance declared, quote, the ceasefire is holding, despite, quote, little skirmishes here and there, unquote. He added, quote, we expect the Israelis are going to respond, unquote, when fired upon. In other words, an essential feature of the ceasefire is little skirmishes, in which 100 Palestinians are slaughtered within a 24-hour period. The ongoing Israeli massacres and deliberate restriction of food make it clear that the peace agreement was nothing but a cover for the ongoing genocide. Governments in the Middle East and in Europe and all major media publications hailed the agreement as a breakthrough and a major step toward peace. It is no such thing. It merely cements and makes permanent the Israeli occupation of Gaza, and gives diplomatic cover for daily massacres and deliberate mass starvation by Israel. Hanin Matir, whose nephews and sisters had been killed in southern Gaza, told the Associated Press, quote, "These are massacres. They burned children while they were asleep," unquote. Dr. Mohammed Al-Mugar, an official from Gaza's Civil Defense Agency, declared that, quote, "Among these attacks was the targeting of a cancer patient camp, the Ansan camp," unquote. Khadija Al-Husni, a displaced mother living in Gaza's Shati refugee camp, told Al Jazeera, quote, "Either there is a truce or a war. It can't be both. The children couldn't sleep. They thought the war was over," unquote. In the 3 weeks since the announcement of the ceasefire, Israel has killed 200 people in an increasingly violent and unrestrained series of attacks. In a statement, the Euromed Human Rights Monitor declared that the ceasefire does not, quote, "signify an end to the genocide, as Israeli authorities continue to perpetrate it systematically and continuously, despite the increase in overt bombings. They persist in directly targeting civilians and enforcing arbitrary measures, including a suffocating blockade, the closure of crossings, and severe restrictions on the entry of heavy equipment needed to clear rubble and search for missing persons. They also impose arbitrary limitations on the entry of food, humanitarian aid, and medical supplies," unquote. Israeli politicians have meanwhile called for a total repudiation of the ceasefire and an even greater assault on Gaza. Moshe Sahada, a member of Netanyahu's right-wing Likud party, said, quote, "The time has come to say we made a mistake, we failed, and end this ceasefire," unquote, in a statement Wednesday to Israel's Army Radio. The Wall Street Journal called for Israeli escalation in an editorial, declaring that, quote, "Gaza's demilitarization, this requires Israeli military action, which resumed after the Hamas shooting Tuesday. Israeli forces may take some more territory from Hamas for now, but the pressing need is for regular intervention to pressure Hamas and disrupt its reconstitution," unquote. The newspaper once again praised Trump's ceasefire agreement because it, quote, "dictated that Hamas free all the hostages up front and leave Israel and half of Gaza until Hamas disarmed," unquote. In other words, it created the condition for the resumption of the Israeli assault at any point. Hamas has returned all living hostages it captured on October 6, 2023, and has so far returned the bodies of 15 of the 28 dead hostages. The U.S. and Israel have accused Hamas of not acting quickly enough to return the bodies, using this claim as a pretext for attacks. In addition to the ongoing and escalating bloodbath, Israel continues to restrict food entering Gaza, in violation of the terms of the ceasefire, with far fewer than the 600 aid trucks that Israel promised entering Gaza each day. Last week, the Euromed Human Rights Monitor published a series of statistics based on its own independent investigation, showing the scale of the devastation inflicted on Gaza during 2 years of genocide. The figures show that over more than 270,000 people, around 12% of the population, have been killed, injured, or detained since October 7, 2023. The report concluded that, quote, "over more than 2 years, the Israeli army has killed about 75,190 Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, including at least 70,248 civilians, representing 90% of the total. Among them are 21,310 children, accounting for 30% of the fatalities, and 13,987 women, representing 20%, unquote. It added that 45,600 children have become orphans after losing one or both parents in Israeli attacks. The organization estimated that since the start of the genocide, 482 Palestinians have died due to malnutrition, including 160 children. It added, quote, "The entire population of the Gaza Strip continues to suffer from severe food insecurity, as Israel maintains restrictions on crossings and prevents the entry of essential food supplies, despite allowing limited humanitarian aid and goods to enter, unquote. It further noted, quote, 1,701 health workers have been killed, including 194 doctors and 376 nurses, while around 2,195 others have been injured. In addition, 255 journalists, 140 civil defense workers, 800 teachers, and 200 academics and university professors have lost their lives, unquote. 99% of Gaza's population has been forcibly displaced at least once in the past 2 years, while the vast majority of Gaza's buildings have been destroyed or damaged, including 555,000 housing units and 621 schools. 95% of schools and universities and every single hospital in Gaza have either been destroyed or damaged. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.